Deuteronomy, we're going to. Title of this teaching is God has set life and death before us. Choose life. The words that are written here in Deuteronomy are just as need to be applied, and I will show you this because the principles and the keys are written also in the church epistles. Nothing has really changed. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now 29 is where God makes known, previous to this, God makes known the curses that he will do to his people who turn their backs on him. He also speaks of the blessings that if you do his word. But if you don't do it and you turn back towards him, he will recognize that and bring you back. But you got to keep it, you know, it's a great thing to do to read these couple of chapters. We're not going to get that deep into it here. In verse 5, it says, "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into a land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord Yahweh, and do all these commandments which I command thee this day. And Yahweh thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over thee for good, and he rejoices as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with thy heart and with thy soul, for his commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, for we may, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is nigh, is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land which thou possessest over Jordan, and go to its possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is really, how straightforward can you be? Plain English, probably plain Hebrew back then. Little joke. Very little. But the choice is always ours. You know, I had this Indian proverb, there's two wolves that are in you. One is evil, and the other one is good. You know, you choose which wolf. You choose which wolf has dominance by which one you feed. I always thought that was kind of neat. You know, whatever you're feeding, either the old man nature or the new man nature, if you're feeding that new man nature, the Christ in you with the Word, then it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. If you're feeding the old man nature, then that's what is dominating in your life. Sin and death. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The quotes, those verses from Deuteronomy are in Romans chapter 10. And that's why I wanted to cover it with you. You know, in Romans, God is laying out the doctrine of the fact that this, actually Romans is about who Jesus Christ is. All right, and that he is the Messiah. He is the one according to the prophets that God has sent, that he is the Messiah and that God raised him from the dead to prove it with the resurrection. Then it goes on in chapter 1 to say, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This gospel, to everyone that believes. And that those that believe, they receive salvation. Those who don't, God gives them up. Chapter 2. And there's no respecter of persons with God. The people who seek for glory, honor, and immortality, they get eternal life. The people who disobey the truth and are, I forget the exact word, but they're argumentative with God, they get indignation and wrath and tribulation upon every soul of man, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. For there's no respect of persons with God. Chapter 3 basically says that there's none righteous, no, not one. No man has ever done it right. And that's the reason that God, the righteousness that God has chosen to save mankind, is to send his son and for his son to pay the price for all men. He is the one who has redeemed us by his blood. He is the one who has paid the price. He was the sacrifice. Chapter 4 says, therefore, it's by faith. And you got Abraham as an example of this faith, and you have David as an example. One man lived before the law was written, the other man after the law was written. Both of them, Abraham was the friend of God. David was a man after his own heart until he wasn't. It's just the way it goes. None of them, neither Abraham or David, could have saved themselves without the Messiah dying for them. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no boasting among us. We were all sinners. We all still are sinners. We're all dead in trespasses and sin, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has paid the whole thing. It's just amazing. And then it tells you in chapter 5 what Christ accomplished. He accomplished our access to God, our reconciliation to God, our at-one-ment with him. We have peace with God. And then 6, it says you got two choices here. Either walk by either a newness of life, or you go back and walk by the old man nature. 7, basically it tells you that the law is dead and you got to follow Christ. You got to be married to him. Do what he says, how he lived, what he did. You know, it's remarkable what's in the scriptures. Paul is begging, he wants the people that he has lived with his whole life, Israel, he wants them to believe so badly. He wants them to understand this so badly. And yet, it says really here, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're all, you know, they were very zealous of God. That don't count. Lots of zeal without understanding and doing it right, it don't count. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, if you just go back to Romans and look up the word righteousness, it's telling you the righteousness that God made was to send his son and you believe on him. It was believing on the gospel. That is the method, the right way that God chose, the right method, righteousness that God chose to save mankind. Because no man was able to save themselves. These guys believe that they're going to make their own righteousness. They're going to make their own way. Oh, we can do this. We can keep the law. We'll be so religious that we squeak. So stiff we squeak. Yeah. No. It's not of works. Says that in the chapters just before this. It's by faith. It's by faith in what the Messiah did. Nothing else. I know it seems too easy. People really want to do stuff to feel good. You know? And remember Nahum? Was it Kings? Elijah said he comes, and this record is in the Gospels, because an unbelieving man was healed of leprosy. And it was to show Israel that they don't believe. Right? So this whole record goes on. But the point was that when this guy came to the prophet's front door, and he said, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be whole. It says he got angry. And I'm sure he was very angry. You know, because he was a warrior and a general and a hot shot. You know how hot shots are when they get angry, right? You're telling me this? So I'm sure he was like boiling over, little teapot on the fire. And then his servants had to beg him. If he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? You know, if you earned your healing, wouldn't you have done it? You know, people feel good about themselves when they do great things. And I got me this healing. No, you go into the muddy Jordan and dip yourself. He complains, aren't my rivers in Damascus better than all these? Just do what you're told. What's so hard about this? Remember when we were kids? Mom and Dad just said, do what you're told. It irked us. It irked us. If they would have said, climb up on top of the roof and run around, we would have done it. That would have been exciting. I did it a few times. But my point is, men always want to work out and to feel good about what they think they want to do to work out their righteousness. They got to participate. They got to go get garments. They got to go build cathedrals. They got to go get wet. They got to go get something. They got to walk 1,000 miles. You see these people, they're so zealous. They do pilgrimages, all these different religions, and they die doing it. Jesus did it for you. See, all those other religions, almost all of them, I can say that with pretty much authority too. Almost all religions require you to do good stuff in that religion. Carry out what their religious leaders have given you. And then maybe at the end, you will be good enough to go to heaven. Christianity is just the opposite. A sinner that hasn't done anything good yells out, Lord, save me. Help me. I believe. And he's accepted. And then you're supposed to do some good stuff. There's the difference. See, you're brought into the family in Christianity. You're blessed. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're given every advantage. He'll teach you, guide you. He understands. You fall on your face. Ask for forgiveness. That's all it takes. Get up and do it again and keep going, keep going. And do you know everything at the beginning? No. Just get up off your butt and keep going. Don't give up. Don't get lazy. That's what God's telling them in Deuteronomy. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Circumcise your heart. Keep it together. I will bless you. Or you're going to get the curse. This is your call. Go back to chapter 10. Verse 3. These people are ignorant. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness, that it's by faith. And they go about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law to every one that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth those things shall live in them. You got to do every one of them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying not in thy heart, who hath ascended into heaven, who shall ascend into heaven, that thou mayest bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? This word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith. God said to them, don't go search for it in heaven across the sea. It's near you. It's right near you. And this word of faith is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not if you're going to be saved. If you believe these things, you shall be saved. Absolutely. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For what saith the Scriptures? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This quote that was in Deuteronomy is here in Romans 10. It's the same truth. The same truth. Life and death is right here. The people that want to work out their own righteousness, death. The people who believe and do God's righteousness, life. It's black and white. It is positive or negative. There's no in between. There's no neutral here. There's no gray. I think we got the easier part. The Lord's done the work. But really, the Lord was going to do the work when he gave it in Deuteronomy. There's no difference here. You believe what's going to happen. You want to enter into the promised land? You want to enter into the kingdom? It's the same truth. They entered into a physical land. They had to cross the, believe the promise and enter into a physical land. We are going to enter into a physical land. We just have to believe we're going to get there. And don't quit. What do you want to quit now for? I mean, look at you. Come all this way and you're going to quit just before the end? You know, I was watching the Olympics a little bit last night, and I'm watching, and broke my heart. One thing broke my heart, but most of it, man, these young people, the swimmers, the ladies, the men, they're just everything in their soul. I couldn't move anything that fast. They're putting everything in their soul on the line to win. Everything. We don't have to move that fast. But we have to move. We have to keep going. This is a very long, what do you call it, marathon. But there is a line where we're finished. We're talking about entrance into the kingdom. Eternal life. Don't go about doing it your own way. Just do it his way. Believe you're accepted in the beloved. Believe that he did the work for you. Believe, like in chapter 6 of Romans, that when he died, when he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised, you're going to be raised. He is the one who did it all for us. Our Lord and Savior did it for us. It's done. All I got to do is believe it and carry myself in the way in which my Lord and Savior has taught me, serve, love, obey the way he did. That's all any individual can do. Can't do better than him. But I can try to walk in his steps. Try to love the way you loved. Go back to Romans 10 here. So anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How about that guy next to Jesus on the cross? Remember me when you get to your kingdom. The Lord says, okay. I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And then, but how are these people going to hear? Again, this is a backdoor way of saying, I've made this available to everybody. How are they going to hear? If there's, you know, a preacher, or what was it, verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed in? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Now, this is where the comeback of those questions, those statements. Have they not all heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went throughout all the earth, if you read Psalm 19. The whole creation bears record that there is a God. And if you get that far and look for him, you'll be found. And their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah was very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know, go to Isaiah 65, where these prophecies are talked about. God Almighty is bent over backwards. I guess he can bend any way he wants. But you get the figure of speech here. He is bent over backwards to talk to his people. He bent over backwards to Israel in the desert. He has been, as it said in that verse in Romans, I've stretched forth my hand all the day long to a gainsaying people, a disobedient and gainsaying people. I got to look up the word gainsaying again, see what that means. Who's that?
Obstinate.
Yeah, stiff-necked, obstinate. You know, I wasn't looking for the Lord when I was a kid. When I was a real young kid, I wanted to love God because I was going to church. But then I saw everything that was going on in the church. It turned me off so bad, it turned my back on God and the church. And I think that's happened to an enormous number of people. The witness of what has gone on in churches is probably more damaging than anything else to the movement of God's word. I don't want to get into that. But it's the truth. Isaiah 65. I am sought. Verse 1. Yeah. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I say, behold. Behold me. Behold me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day long unto a rebellious people, which walketh in the way and was not good after their own thoughts. I beg them. Almighty God is full of mercy and love and grace. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, you know, there's accountability with God. Not everybody's going to be saved. This was a shocking thought to him. I said, I guess you never read the Bible. But there's a lot of people out there that think, you know, if you believe once, Romans 10, 9, and 10, you're done. You got the magic words, you said them, you're in. No. You got to keep going. Didn't God say in Deuteronomy, you got to keep going. Turn your back on me, it's over. All right? Curses come upon you. Part of the curse, you're not going to live that long. Part of the curse, sickness, all these other things. Part of the curse, you don't enter into the promised land. Romans. Read chapter 1 and 2 of Romans. God, right in the front of the book, he tells you, if you, well, let me just read it to you. I feel like it's time to read it. Romans chapter 1. The good part, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also the Greek. You know, God wants them all. But it's the power of God. When you believe the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. Eternal life. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Again, the righteousness of God is he sent his son. You got to believe on him and what he did. As it is written, the just live by faith. You know, the next verse, the music changes. You know, if this was a movie, it would be the music's changing. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And they didn't want to glorify him as God, so he gave them up. In chapter 2, it says, despise thou the riches of the goodness of the forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? You know, God is forbearing, long suffering, and his judgment isn't in your life right now at this moment. Like, this is it. You screwed up, you're done. No, he gives us great grace, forbearance. You got the shot in your life to change. That is unbelievable. If he didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. None of us would be. So don't take his forbearance and his love. Don't despise it. Don't act like, oh, I can get away with it this week and I'll say I'm sorry on Friday or Saturday night before I go to bed. Then I go to church in the morning and I'll be okay. You don't try to play God. Not a good thing. See, did you despise thou the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and long suffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render. Does this not sound like Deuteronomy 30 and Romans 10 a little bit here? It says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. to them who are patient, continuance in well-doing. They seek for glory, honor, and immortality. They get eternal life. Patient, continuance in well-doing. Notice it doesn't say perfection and getting it right all the time. Patient, continuance in well-doing. They seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, I think we know what contention is. You want to fight and squall with God? What was that word before? Obstinate. You want to be contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness? You get indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law, the Gentiles shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law, the Jews, shall perish, shall be judged by the law. And that won't be good. For not only are the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You know, it's filled with patience and grace. This whole section, I mean, it's black and white, right? Do the word, don't do the word. You've been called, you've been chosen, you got no excuse. You got no excuse. Nobody on the planet's got an excuse not to know that there's a God. That's God's word, that's His will, that's His opinion. You don't like it, talk to Him. That's really where it comes down for me. When you got that settled in your mind, understand, He's merciful. He puts up with a lot. He takes you back all the time. Forgiveness. He's a patient father with these little kids. They don't know what they're doing, but they're trying. All of that's in there. So, you know, just do, focus on doing your best for Him, loving Him, doing the best you know how to do, and keep reading, keep looking, because this word is right in your lap. It is nigh you. You don't have to run around. It's in every library in America, probably, at least I hope. It's, it's in pretty much everywhere you go. I know most of you have more than one copy of the Bible in your home. You know, sometimes it's a nuisance when they wear out. What am I going to do with this thing? So, treat it respectfully. But, just keep it straight. You will be blessed. And you have been blessed. Mary and I, we know we have been blessed. And we just try. We just try. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Hope it wasn't too long. So, Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your goodness, Your great grace, and Your tender mercy. Thank You, Father, for giving us this word, for giving Your Son, for pouring out the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank You, my Lord, for Your love. So grateful. So grateful for Your patience. And I know we never grow up in your eyes, Father. We only see through a glass darkly, no matter how good or how much we know. And I'm grateful, Father, that you are patient. So please continue to help us, open our eyes, teach us, and guide us, my God. And I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all your wonderful children. Thank you for everybody here and everybody online. And I'm looking forward to the day, my God, when we can all be together in the kingdom to come. And I pray these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.